On this episode of the Catholic Echo podcast from the Diocese of Youngstown, we're talking about Walsh University with Bishop David Bonner, Dr. Joe Torma, and Dominican Father Al Trudell. Find more about this episode's topic, including articles from the Catholic Echo at catholicecho.org/podcast. And now, the host of the Catholic Echo podcast, Father Jim Korda.
Hello and welcome to the Catholic Echo podcast. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Our show is brought to you by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and Cumulus Media Youngstown. With me again is Bishop David Bonner. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Father Korda.
You know, today we're going to talk about Walsh University. Walsh was founded in 1960 by the Brothers of Christian Instruction. It was formally changed from a college to university in 1993. It's got a rich history, lots of alumni, and it's got wonderful sense of Catholicity. And that's what we celebrate with this Institute of Higher Education here within the Diocese of Youngstown. Since you've been our bishop and ordinary, what has been some of your experiences with the folks in your visits at Walsh University?
Well, Walsh University is certainly a gem in our diocese. And I've been there numerous times. I sit on the board as the bishop of this diocese. I even taught a theology class early on in my tenure here as bishop. That was a great experience, interfacing with the youth. I've also been present for a symposium with a rabbi, you know, a faith symposium, which was very enlivening and invigorating for me. I hope it was for those in attendance. I was also very humbled to receive an honorary doctorate degree from Walsh University. What I enjoy most about Walsh, apart from the programs and the classes and the personnel there, the faculty and the staff, what I enjoy most are the students, because they just exude such great energy and hope for the future.
Let's talk a little bit more about the students and the makeup. There's probably about a few thousand students there, not all Catholic, from different backgrounds, different faith backgrounds, from all around the world, really. If we think about Walsh University, it's kind of a global university. So why is it important for us as a Catholic institution to be open to people of other faiths and denominations, and what do they bring to our faith?
Well, I think the beauty of an arrangement like that is that it's the real world, and we all have something to offer to one another, and we're all children of God. We're all walking this journey together, and unity isn't always uniformity. There's a richness. I know just even in my family growing up, my father was not a Catholic. It wasn't until I was 16 that he converted to the faith. So that added a richness to our home. So I think that diversity is something that can have a positive effect.
Let's talk a little bit about the sense of the student body there. You know, you had many experiences of the students. What would impress you most about young people in university level? You know, I don't know about you, but I sometimes get intimidated by young people because they're really in a different sphere of understanding of life. What have you learned primarily about them that helps you in your faith?
I think there are two realities that stand out every time I visit the campus. Mm-hmm. The first one is a commitment of faith. Mm-hmm. Faith isn't something that's on the shelves. Faith is something that is deep within their hearts. I think the other reality that just always seems to shine forth is their reverence. Mm-hmm. They have a tremendous sense of reverence, especially for the Holy Eucharist and for one another. I think both of those realities, that sense of faith and how that faith is expressed ever so reverently and piously, it really is something to behold.
You know, why we know that the Brothers of Christian Instruction were the ones that really started the university, obviously they are no longer present there, but yet their charism continues. Why is it important for us as a Catholic institution of higher learning to carry on the traditions, especially founded by that group of brothers that started this university?
A house without a foundation cannot stand. That's not only the tradition, but it's the foundation. Mm-hmm. It's the core. It's the roots. And when we forget our roots, we can go down a slippery slope. And I know that President Collins and his staff is very intentional about keeping the brothers' charism alive. I think there's even a brother that still is on the board. There's a connectiveness They're miles and miles away from the campus in North Canton, but they're still very, very close to the heart and the mission.
Let's also talk about church teaching and why it's important for us in the confines of the Catholic University to teach the faith. What does it mean to really teach the faith and to understand the Catholic faith?
The beauty of Walsh as a Catholic institution is that it does provide opportunities to grow in the faith through the study of theology, but also through just the lived experience every day through daily mass and through campus ministry programs. It's important to learn that so that we can pass this on to the next generation, and then the next generation can pass it on to the following generation. So it's a matter of keeping the faith alive.
And I know we're going to talk in a subsequent segment today with Father Trudell, who is the chaplain there at Walsh. And he's a Dominican, so he brings his own charism. And why is it important for us as a Catholic church to kind of be open to these various charisms that really make up these religious institutions that further help and further really prosper the faith?
Absolutely. I like the word you use, that these charisms help and prosper the faith. They feed the faith. Mm-hmm. I know that as a young boy, I went to Catholic school, and I was taught by Sisters of St. Francis. They followed the charism of Francis. And I was blessed throughout the years to be introduced to other charisms. Mm-hmm. So those charisms have a way of making us see things differently. And the fact that we can celebrate them adds a special sense to our identity and as well as where we're going.
You know, it's interesting as you were talking, one thing that kind of comes to mind is that we are citizens of the earth, but we're also citizens of heaven. And I can't help but think that the students at Walsh University have that sense. They are students of God and yet students of the world. And so there's this whole sense that we need to understand that Christian discipleship is our journey in this world, but we're on our way to another world, and how important it is for us to keep that into our minds. Just one final thought about how great it is to have this institution in our diocese.
We have been blessed to reap the fruits of the labors that take place there. I visited a few years ago with the campus ministry group, and I got to know all of those students, and I invited them to consider a vocation in the church, mm-hmm. be it as a priest, a religious, or as a lay ecclesial minister. And lo and behold, one of our staff, Maddie DeSalvatore, who hails mm-hmm. from Walsh, graduated from Walsh, is our director of youth and young adult ministry and missionary discipleship. So we are blessed to share the fruits of their labors.
Amen. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in northeastern Ohio? That's more than 150,000 people. In the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
The first Sisters of the Humility of Mary came together in France in 1854. In their rule, approved by the Bishop of Nancy in 1858, the founding sisters gave expression to their faith and their lived experience. The entire community came to the United States of America in 1864, including 9 professed sisters, 2 novices, 3 orphan girls, and Father John Joseph Begiel, the spiritual director for the little community, and their ecclesial liaison. In regard to the Eucharist, their rule, translated into English in 1877, clearly stated that they will love and serve Jesus Christ in his real and natural body, that is to say, the Holy Eucharist, in his temples. and they will serve him in his mystic body, their neighbors, who are his members. The personal experiences of the first Sisters of the Humility of Mary was one of wonder and reception of God's gratuitous gift of love in the person of Jesus Christ. This lived experience was also one of meeting Jesus in the sacrament of the Eucharist, and of meeting and serving him in the sacrament of their neighbor.
The Catholic Echo is the media arm of the Catholic Diocese of Youngstown, and it seeks to inform and entertain Catholics in our six-county diocese by forging stronger connections to our parish communities and highlighting the many blessings of Catholic life in our region. If you have a story idea for the Catholic Echo magazine, podcast, or website, send an email to catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. We'd love to hear your ideas.
With me again is Dr. Joe Torma, who is former professor of theology at Walsh University. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting as we reflect on your topic about domestic church becoming renewed Catholics. One thing I'd like us to focus on is, how did that take place for the many years that you were at Walsh University? And what did that mean to the students who were Catholic? And how did they renew their faith as a family?
Well, there weren't that many people who had that conviction that I have. Mm-hmm. But I was obviously allowed to proclaim that. But that proclaims a different kind of church than most people are used to. Most people are used to a church which is relatively superficial. Mm-hmm. It's basically focused on worship, celebration, mm-hmm. spirituality. The idea that celebration and spirituality are meant to feed the mission, to make the world a family, and we are all to be a family. And that means care and concern for the poor, the blind, the oppressed, the imprisoned, things that Jesus said in Luke 4:16 to 19. So I would proclaim that, and I was brought there by Brother Francis Bluen, who wanted me because I had training in the areas of social justice. Mm-hmm. And he saw social justice, unlike most people, not as a particular specialty within Christianity, mm-hmm. but the essence of Christianity. And that's where I was coming from. So whenever they saw me, I would talk to the students that way. And I'd say, this isn't my theology. This is Christian. And Christian means, of course, anointed and appointed to care for the poor. That's what it means. You may not have experienced that a lot, mm-hmm. because it's probably just a lot easier to hold people accountable for showing up at church. Mm-hmm. To hold them accountable for trying to change the world into a family, that's a whole other thing, and we're not structured for that yet. With Vatican II, is the first time in 1,650 years that we actually said that that's our obligation. Mm-hmm. I would say that 90% of the people haven't ever even heard that. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, when the church is moving that way, they feel there's been this reaction, you know.
Sure.
They're shocked at it. They think it's not being Catholic, and it's just the opposite. It's going to being Catholic that causes the difficulties.
You know, as you were talking about Vatican II, how long it takes for us to realize who we are as a church and as a family, how long will it take us as church to understand the full thrust of Vatican II, which is only about 60 years old plus?
Right. As the point I was making before, if it's been since 315 that we've had this separation of the full Christ, the fully Christian, and everybody else, it's going to take 10 to 20% of that time. So you're talking about 150 to 300 years. Mm-hmm. But it's a project that's worth doing, mm-hmm. regardless of what happens in the short term. So some people will say, well, when are you going to be successful? And I say, well, I take some wisdom from Mother Teresa mm-hmm. and Dorothy Day mm-hmm. of the Catholic Worker. And their message to the people they worked with was, what we are called to be is faithful, not successful. Mm-hmm. Success will come in God's time. And God is the God of, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. So it'll take a long time. So what can we expect in our time? In our time, we could probably expect an organization or a group. And the problem with that is there will be progress, as there was after Vatican II for, you know, 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Progress doesn't go in a straight line. Mm. It goes in a spiral. Mm. You go forward and then you go backwards. Mm. And so that's what we're experiencing. And then you turn around and go forward again. Mm. So what do I expect in my time? In my time, I was involved in lots of progressive movements. Mm. And now the time seems to have been gone. But it's only gone temporarily. Mm. It's gone for me, but not for my children and my children's children.
What I like about that concept is that element of hope. It's always there because sometimes there are those of us who would like to see more happen within the church or within the faith. And we feel that people are taking steps back instead of forward. And yet we have to be people of hope to realize that our good works, our good intentions, our being faithful is really part of the process.
Absolutely. I'm reminded of, it was explained to me once in my training, they said, Joe, do you realize that when you're talking about the virtues, you're talking about something that's beyond our normal expectation? I don't know what you mean. They said, well, look at faith. Faith means believing in something for which there is no evidence. Mm. Oh, okay. And hope means keeping going without any evidence of progress. And love means being close to and serving the best interest of those who are not lovable. And they said, this isn't just some local wisdom. Mm-hmm. This is basic Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at those are the theological virtues. They're the virtues that show the theos, the God.
Right, right. Well, you know, as we do live our lives in this complex and complexing world that we live in, how do we hold on to those values? How do we hold on to those particular virtues that will help us move forward?
The answer, that's a simple answer that all of us know, we don't know what it means to do it, is prayer. But by prayer, I don't mean some kind of a ritual. I mean what the definition is, to raise your heart and mind to God. God is simply that ultimate reality we're supposed to be, which is we are all to be family. Mm-hmm. Raise your mind to that. Well, it means I have to know what that means structurally. So in my world, where is there not family? But then I have to raise my heart. My heart is my emotion, my will, my commitment. Mm-hmm. So I would say, first of all, that kind of prayer, which you do probably a lot, all the time, not the formal prayer, but when you're thinking about the world the way it is and how it should be, that's what we have to do. So that's what I mean by prayer. That has to be constant. We have to constantly think about that. So that's the first thing I would say in how you move toward this next stage. And believe that the little work that you do for yourself and one other person, I hear there's two people, that's great, and we're reinforcing each other. Mm-hmm. Believe that in God's time, that will take root, that will flower. We don't know in our time, but our time isn't God's time, is it?
Well, it's interesting, as you were saying, and in closing, I'd like to say that I'm reminded of the quote, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. So if we do that as family, one for another, and remember that, then we can continue to bring about the kingdom.
Absolutely, because we are Jesus. That statement that you just made from Matthew 18:20 is central, because that's the reality of the church. Where is the church? Mm-hmm. It's where two or three are gathered in my name. The Hebrews by that meant my function. So where two or three are gathered to carry out the work of my life, there I am. So that's a wonderful ending. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Joe Torma, former professor of theology at Walsh University, it's a pleasure to have you on our show and also to be reacquainted with you again. And God bless you in your retirement. I hope that the Lord helps you to continue to be busy about his work.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in northeastern Ohio? That's more than 150,000 people. And the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
The new Catholic Echo podcast will inform and entertain the faithful of the diocese by discussing various topics that are relevant in the church today. Bishop David J. Bonner begins the podcast with your host, Father Jim Korda, on the topic of the day, and then you'll want to hear from those with expertise on that topic. You can listen to the Catholic Echo podcast on WHOT-FM 101, WYFM FM 102.9, WQXK-FM 105.1 on Sundays at 6:30 a.m., or catch it online by going to catholicecho.org/podcast. The Catholic Echo podcast is produced by the Communications Department of the Diocese of Youngstown.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at catholicecho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Joining me is Father Albert Trudell, who is the chaplain of Walsh University. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
And I think I'd like to spend a little more time talking about Walsh University now. It's really one of those great gems of our diocese, and it's wonderful that the Dominican community is part of that. What have you discovered the most in your ministry there that you can celebrate and lift up in that university?
There are a number of things. First of all, the attendance at Mass, a large number of students and local people from around the community in North Canton come for Mass daily at the chapel at Walsh. So that's a terrific kind of ministry, hearing confessions and then celebrating Mass for the students and faculty and also a few of the members of the community. There are also a number of student activities, of course, on campus. Every week we have on Tuesday evenings, there are groups of students who meet for what's called brotherhood and sisterhood. The students gather in their respective gender groups and discuss matters that would be of interest or importance to them as men or as women. And it's interesting just to accompany them, to listen in on their conversation, to add what I might, and then to join them for a brief moment, a few brief moments of adoration afterwards. Then on Wednesday evenings, there's another meeting called Ignite. Ignite usually involves a speaker comes and gives a brief presentation. Then the students break into small groups and have a brief discussion about that talk with some questions usually that are directed to them, directed to their consideration of the Christian life. And then at the end of that, there's adoration for an hour. And while adoration is going on, I'll hear confessions. So it's an incredibly rich time for ministering to the students right then and there. The students also have adoration every day of the week, really. On Wednesday evenings, the adoration actually goes over 24 hours, and the students each have a slot, and they come and spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament. So I'll help out with that. I've also been helping out with committees. Any time that a particular group on campus would like a priest to pray with them, to talk to them. So I've been doing all a variety of different things.
You know, it's interesting, as you were talking, I can't help but think how blessed Walsh University is to have a priest who's there full time, celebrating Mass with them, celebrating Eucharistic adoration, celebrating the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You know, that really is a gift and a blessing. And I think in the lives of many of our young people, they don't always have a role model or don't always have an active person who's ministering that they could look up to maybe foster a vocation. For example, you know, it's been said that Eucharistic adoration is something that really calls men to the priesthood. Now, that was something when I was in the seminary, was not something that was part of my learning or growing up with. But it seems that that is pretty much going on today. And I think even Kara out of Washington has determined that not only that, but also involvement in youth and young adult ministry, serving at the altar, those things have encouraged vocations. Do you see that in your ministry and in your work as a chaplain at Walsh?
I do. I think the kind of fellowship that the students involved in campus ministry have is really that kind of fellowship is really infectious. There are a lot of students looking for kind of belonging, looking for kind of answers to more the ultimate questions. And what they find by discussing with some of our students, they find that kind of companionship, fellowship, that's much deeper than just ordinary companionship in the various events of campus ministry. Sure. I do think adoration has contributed a lot to personal kind of conversion among the students. A lot of students will talk about how they might have been going to church before and weren't particularly, you know, interested in their faith, but then came to a much deeper appreciation of it once they met some of our students and once they started going to events like Adoration, or even our this past fall we had a retreat, Agape retreat, and it was students witnessing to students. And just that experience really seems to transform their way of looking at the world. There are also opportunities for service and for serving at Mass as well. Mm-hmm. We have a wide variety of students involved as ministers at Mass, and that also, I think, draws them close to the mysteries of our faith and helps them to start thinking about serving the Lord. The question comes up, the question arises in their minds from the adoration and also the sacramental involvement.
What are some of the things that are going on in the lives of young people that some of us seasoned Catholics need to understand?
I think the youth culture is really shaped by modern technology quite a bit. So the constant stream of information coming in through the internet, really constant cultural entertainment through the internet. The students often talk about how much time they spend on their phones and how much time they spend in almost constant contact with one another. This is both a blessing and a curse. The students, the young people, realize that their over-involvement in visual media, although it claims to connect them to the rest of the world, sometimes it can actually be a barrier.
Or in isolation sometimes, too.
Yes, yeah. And I think they feel that keenly.
Father Albert Trudell, thank you so much. Our time has gone so quickly. We appreciate you being with us and sharing your ministry and chaplaincy at Walsh University with us, but also for your vocation and for your witness to the young people. I am sure that the Lord has blessed you and we hope continues to bless you in your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And if you'd like more information, please go to CatholicEcho.org.
The Catholic Echo podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Youngstown in cooperation with Cumulus Media Youngstown. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Have a blessed day, and may God be with you.